So today's sermon is based on the gospel reading and builds off of last Sunday's sermon. And if you weren't here last Sunday, that's okay. The sermon addressed the idea that Jesus seemed to be speaking in riddles, and the disciples were having quite the time understanding what Jesus was saying to them. The main thought of the sermon addressed Jesus' words. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, in a little while, you will see me. On this side of the crucifixion and ascension, to us it may not seem like it's that much of a brain teaser. But the disciples who lack our perspective really struggled with what Jesus was saying to them. They would soon be enlightened, however, as they would be witnesses to events that would change their lives forever. This week's gospel picks up where last week's left off. Jesus admits to the disciples that he had been speaking to them in figures of speech. Our world today loves to talk in that same way, making up words to disguise or confuse people about what is actually going on. If you've ever purchased a vehicle and had to take out a loan through the dealer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you leave the dealership, you have no idea what you've just signed, how much it's actually costing you, or whether you get to keep your firstborn or not. And when companies use terms like reducing costs instead of cutting wages, downsizing instead of firing people, you know they're just trying to make themselves sound better. And when did we start using words like well-loved to describe something that is old and worn out? But Jesus speaking in figures of speech was not meant to mislead the disciples in any way. It was meant to help them to focus on two things at once: his upcoming death and resurrection, and his ascension and coming again at Judgment Day. And a premise that I stated earlier wasn't completely true, that our perspective on this side of the resurrection makes everything so much clearer for us. Like the disciples in verse 29, we think we have things pretty figured out, but we don't. Jesus says he is leaving the world and going to the Father. That's pretty plain language. The disciples are like, great, we finally understand and we don't have to answer any more questions. But Jesus knows what will happen when the hour of the cross finally arrives. They understand nothing. There are times when we think we have Christianity figured out, our faith, the cross, all those things, we have them figured out. We slip into what theologians call the theology of glory. It's when, if you have faith, the right kind of faith, true faith, everything goes right. You never get sick. The parking place closest to the door is always available for you. Your kids never misbehave. You always get money back on your taxes. Life is good. Just when you think you have it figured out, we find out we actually don't. Something happens and it disrupts all that goodness in your life. And then somebody starts to question your belief system, challenge your faith, inquire as where your God is when all these bad things start happening to you. It is then that you find out you don't understand the cross at all. After all, we are Christians, believers, helpers of the less fortunate and downtrodden. Bad things are supposed to happen to bad people. They deserve it. We don't. Apparently, you haven't been reading your Bible because it has much to say about being a Christian and suffering. And it's also in pretty plain language. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as far as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Paul writes to the Corinthians in a second letter, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Jesus tells the church in Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." In these gospel verses today, Jesus says they will have tribulation. I have yet to find any Bible passage that says, as a Christian, life will be easy and carefree. But Christ did tell us to come to him, "All ye who labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest." From Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And like the disciples, there are times when the hour of testing comes for us, when we each will scatter to our own place and abandon our Savior. Our perspective on this side of the crucifixion and resurrection didn't offer us much help, did it? The devil, our sinful self, or the world around us has kept us from being the disciple that Jesus called us to be. We deserve nothing more for him to turn his back on us. Thanks be to God, he never does. Instead, our risen Savior assures us that we can find peace in him. The peace that Jesus plainly talks about and gives to us is grounded in who he is. Our gospel message ends with these words, "I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world. He is leaving this earth not in defeat and death, but in victory. This was the plan of the Father before all time. The Gospel of John starts with these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." From John 1, verses 1 through 4. "And it was the will of the Father that the Word was to become a man, born a baby on this creation called earth. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1, verse 14. "And so the baby was born, grew, lived a perfect life." But the Father's plan included a perfect, like sacrifice for all mankind. And so the only Son of the Father met these requirements. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. John 3, 14 and 15. The mankind that he was sent to save killed him by crucifying him on a cross, a horrible and criminal way to die. He was put in a borrowed tomb under guard, for there were rumors that he said he would rise again from the dead. On the third day, the rumors proved to be true, for he appeared to Mary in the garden. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he has said these things to her. John 20, verses 17 and 18. It is in the Christ's perfect life, death, and resurrection that the debt of all mankind's sins were paid, Christ declaring his victory over sin, death, and the devil. Christ's victory is then our victory. It is given to us through the Word, through our baptism, and through the Lord's Supper. Because we have been united with Christ in our faith, we have become children of the Heavenly Father, and we have peace with Him. The sin that separated us from God is forgiven. We have the reconciliation that we couldn't gain on our own. That is the comfort in the promises of God. And this is renewed to us every day. When we hear the sweet words of the gospel, when we remember our baptism, taste the bread and the wine that is His body and blood, or hear the words, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit," we are set free. We are forgiven. Our spirits are lifted because the burden of our sins are removed. And as a result, we can speak clearly and plainly to the Father in Jesus' name. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." From verses 23 and 24. I believe a lot of ink has been used trying to explain these verses, and that is a topic for another sermon. But let's hear a little bit of what Luther has to say about this. "From these words, we gather that we should not be concerned or worried about our own worthiness, but should forget about worthiness and unworthiness and base our prayer on Christ and pray in His name. Christ wants you to pray in His name. You have His command and His promise. But by telling you to pray in His name, He also exhorts and begs you. It is though He were saying, 'My dear friend, it does not matter in what condition you are. If you cannot pray on your own authority and in your name, as indeed you should not, then please pray in my name. If you are not worthy or holy enough, let me be holy and worthy enough for you.'" And that, people loved by God, is why Luther also says that all Christendom prays in this manner. It concludes and seals all of its prayers and cries with the words, "Through Jesus Christ, our Lord." In this way, it brings its offerings to God in faith. "Therefore, you should do likewise, in order that you may defend yourself against the terrible thoughts which detain and deter you from prayer." These quotes are from Luther's works, the American edition, volume 24. And so we have two sermons on consecutive weeks. The first one, which is about riddles, and the second, in which Jesus speaks to us plainly. The message of both is very similar. Our Jesus has been raised from the dead, is victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And whether we see Him or not, He has not abandoned us, but is with us in word and sacraments. He has sent us a helper in the Holy Spirit, and He strengthened us and is our comforter and guide. He encourages us to pray to the Father in His name. And so the Father hears our prayers and answers us. And He warns us that in the life here on earth, it will not be easy, but take heart. He has overcome the world. And in this, we have our hope, to the glory of His holy name. Amen.